All righty, let's launch this baby into the atmosphere. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Ed Alexander and I welcoming you to the program, the midweek edition, July 29th, 2015. Hope the week is going pretty well for you so far. Let's go right to the live line now and Tucson City Councilman Ward from Ward 6, Democrat Steve Kosacek. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Bill?
Very good. Were you able to get in your 10-mile run before the rain came yesterday?
13, and yeah, kind of in the middle of it. It was nice.
Very nice, huh? So you were able to continue on. And
the
humidity doesn't bother you or what?
Oh, actually, Sunday, if I cough during the middle of this half hour, it's because Sunday I just ran myself ragged in the humidity. It was terrible. I hate the heat. I hate the heat and I hate the humidity.
Yeah, I saw you going down Speedway on Sunday and honk the horn like I'm sure a lot of people do to say hi as we're going by in our air-conditioned cars. Let's start with some good news. The Tucson Fire Department has been awarded $8.5 million for 54 firefighters. That news came from Congresswoman McSally's office, who, by the way, will be my guest on Friday. That is good news for our city, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, we have a staffing issue with both police and fire, and we're down across the board from 2009. We're down from about 6,000 employees citywide to about 4,800. Police and fire, of course, are two of the most important departments, obviously, and any federal help, grant money that we can get to help up our game when it comes to staffing levels is absolutely necessary. So, yeah, good work on the federal delegation's part and Martha McSally's part, and we'll take all the help we can get from a financial standpoint.
Also, some more good news. Tucson off the list of cities with the 10 worst roads. I believe that at one point we had maybe 30% of our roads were considered fairly decent. That means 70% were not. I think we're now beyond the halfway point. Is that what you understand?
Well, we have a long way to go. You know, so again, in our road conditions for years have been speaking of public safety, have been a public safety issue, not to mention the fact that aesthetically and the costing people money in car repairs and all that. This is really an obligation that this mayor and council needs to keep our eye on the ball, because we can't just say, hey, we got off one list and so, you know, all is well. All is not well. It's good that we're off of that list, but we have a whole heck of a lot of work to do all over the community. And the Prop 409, $20 million a year, is not going to get it done. We're going to have to find other funding sources. And quite honestly, I would really welcome the conversation with the RTA that instead of the mantra being let's go find new ways to tax people or increase existing taxes, let's perhaps have the conversation about reallocating a portion of the half-cent sales tax that we're already paying to the RTA to expand capacity and reallocate some percentage of that to road repair. We're already paying it. The RTA has to go back to the voters to get an extension on their own sunsetting date. They have to do it soon. And so I'd just like to hear that as a part of the conversation. Let the voters decide. If they say no, we just want to keep building more roads with the RTA money, then fine and dandy. But up until now, we haven't even been able to engage that conversation. The road repair continues. We're going to have another $20 million in bonds sold August-ish, sometime around the end of the year for fiscal year 16. And, we'll just keep plugging away. But the $100 million that the voters approved for 409 is not going to get the job done, and we all know that.
What do you think of these billboards that have come up around town? I realize you are not up for re-election right now, but three of your colleagues are, and the billboards portray Tucson in a realistic light, in your opinion, Councilman?
I haven't seen them all. I know one of them says something about potholes, and I don't know the context of any of them. I think just more generally, If I'm running for office on the Republican ticket right now, I think one of the last people I'd want as a can tied to my tail is Frank Antonori. And you know, he is within the Republican Party, a three-time loser himself. He lost in his own primaries a couple of times and didn't, you know, and lost to Dave Bradley in for the state legislature, what was it, 3 years ago. If you're running against an incumbent, you've got an uphill battle anyway. You probably don't want somebody like him out, in quotes, advocating for you, especially with all the negative imagery that he's putting out. I think the voters want to hear from candidates, what are you going to do from a positive standpoint? Don't just keep putting, you know, you're not going to win a bill. You're not going to win an election by billboards, especially billboards that are tied to a guy like him. So. I think they're unhelpful to their candidates. But frankly, Bill, you know who are, you know, the candidates have been pretty much invisible up until now anyway. I think they better get active if they want to get taken seriously.
Steve Kasacek is with us on the live line, and Steve would welcome your comment or question at 790-2040, 790-2040. You mentioned, you touched on bonds. Of course, the voters will be asked to approve several bond questions, seven, I believe, mm-hmm. on the November ballot, and one would pertain to roads, and I think it's about $200 million for road repairs. Have you taken a position on any of those seven bonds?
Yeah, the specific to the road repair, it's a 200. There are seven questions. You're correct about that. Mm-hmm. The road repair bond is $200 million, but only $160 million is for roads. I think it's $30 million for the Sonoran Corridor, which is the aerospace connection out on I-19. And there's another $10 million for something I don't recall right now. For the city of Tucson, of that $160 million, we'll get $65 million of it. So if you're a city of Tucson resident and you look at question number whatever it is, it's Prop 425, that will be a $65 million increase in the funding for Tucson roads. As far as all $800 million worth of the bond questions are concerned, I have a problem right now with I want to support them, we have issues with respect to the bond language itself that I've been having exchanges with the county administrator and city staff. And frankly, this is not Chuck Huckleberry's fault that we wound up in this position. It's city staff negotiated language for a proposed intergovernmental agreement that gives the county the right to send the city, any jurisdiction, not just the city of Tucson, a notice saying we will give you 120 days to fix any of the or to maintain projects, bring them up to the standards that we, the county, expect. And if you don't do that within 120 days, we can either cut off the rest of your bond projects or just send you a bill. Now, Bill, that obligation lasts right now for 25 years after a project is built. That could extend beyond the useful life of a project. But more importantly to me is it gives the county, another jurisdiction, another governing body, the right to step into the middle of one of our budget cycles and send us a bill. I absolutely believe that no jurisdiction, including the city of Tucson, should be putting projects on the bond package if we don't have the money to do the O&M on them for the life of the project. But I do not agree that another jurisdiction should be able to send us a bill. So right now, in the middle of a budget cycle. So right now, I'm working with the city attorney and city manager to come up with some new language, some language that reflects the fact that, yes, we recognize we have O&M obligations. Yes, we recognize that we have to maintain these projects that the taxpayers are paying for, but we're not going to just simply let the county send us a bill in the middle of a budget and have us have to reprioritize things that we haven't allocated dollars for in the middle of that cycle. So that's a kind of a long-winded answer as to have I taken a position. I'm not even at the point where I'm going to support or not support any of the questions until the first question is answered, and that is, have we fixed that bond language? Have we fixed the language in the IGA that takes the city of Tucson and the rest of the jurisdictions out of the financial crosshairs of Chuck Huckleberry and the county?
Well, are they close to finishing that agreement or what?
Yeah, in fact, yesterday I saw a draft of the proposed language. I got it from our city attorney, and frankly, it wasn't acceptable yet, but I sent him back some comments. And what we're going to do, I'm sure this is where we'll wind up, and all will be well, but we got to do it quickly because we want to get to the substantive conversation about the bonds themselves. What we'll wind up doing is agreeing to put together what we'll call a corrective action plan. And that will simply tell the county, and the county, first of all, let me say, the county is legitimately in the position of overseeing these projects because it is a county bond election, and they're the ones who are the fiscal agent overseeing all these. So I don't take exception to the county's role in being the fiscal agent. I just take exception to them stepping into our budget cycle with a 120-day mandate. So what we'll come up with is what we'll call a corrective action plan. We'll send it to the county, and it'll say, we get it. We understand this building, this road, this park, or whatever it is not up to snuff, and here's our plan for rectifying it, and work it out that way so that if the corrections are of a high capital cost nature and they have to roll over into the next budget fiscal year, then we have that on paper, and the parties can agree to that. So yeah, I think we're close. We have some I's to dot and some T's to cross.
Okay, we're going to take a break right here, our first break of the Buckmaster Show. Councilman Steve Kasacek, stick around. We'll be right back with him. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting.
and with my voice. You'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is now 12:20. Let's go back to the live line in Tucson City Councilman Ward 6, Councilman Steve Kosacek. Steve, how do you feel about the red light camera ban that voters will be asked to approve? This is, of course, Mr. Kromko's baby. He'll be on the show tomorrow talking about why he thinks people should certainly vote yes on this. How do you feel?
Well, the biggest problem that I've got with the way the whole red light camera system is working is the way we set our intersections up. And this, let me kind of describe. Right now, the legal definition of an intersection is the prolongation of the curb lines. That means where the curb lines, if you drew a line around the intersection, it's where the curb lines meet up. Right now, if you drive up to an intersection anywhere in town and you stop behind the crosswalk, there's a stop line behind the crosswalk. Most people think that if they roll forward and the light turns red, but they're on top of the crosswalk and entering the intersection, that they're good to go. In fact, that's not the case because the legal definition of the intersection may be another 10 or 15 feet in front of you. So if the city were to change the definition of the intersection so that it's the stop line, and so where people actually believe they're in the intersection, and just change that geometry, or add a second to the amber, give a grace period after it turns red, so that if you're kind of slowly rolling through, making a left-hand turn on an arrow, and they give you the grace to make that left-hand turn, then fine. You know, go ahead and leave the cameras in place. But right now, the data shows that about a quarter of our city traffic violations, city court traffic violations, are a result of the red light cameras, and that's about, you know, that's a chunk of our docket, and I don't know the data because we haven't been given the data, but I just got to believe that the vast majority of those citations are from people making left-hand turns, and they're just caught because of the way the intersection is defined. I think the city, irrespective of how the vote goes, I think it's incumbent on the city to resolve that problem, because I think we're ticketing people inappropriately, not based on them running through and trying to blow through a red light, but simply based on the fact that we define the intersections in an odd way.
Could the council, in a vote, in effect, do a, because the contract renewal is coming up next month, right, August?
Yes. Yeah.
What if the council voted to not renew the contract, in effect, then the red light cameras would go away? Would the vote, Mr. Kromko's group, would that even be necessary then?
Yeah, the council could do that, but quite honestly, I don't think that there's support. I don't think there's support in the council with four of us to do it. It would not bother me. I suspect Cunningham would support getting rid of them also by vote. I'm not sure there's any more support in the council. So that's the reason Kromko and the group went to the voters, and so let the voters decide.
Yeah, I know. Karen Ulick was on the show, and she said she was in favor of keeping the red light cameras. So it will be up to the voters, and if it's any indication, other cities, Sierra Vista voted 3-1 to get rid of them. So we'll see what happens there.
Well, the county board of supervisors did vote to get
right.
rid of them
because
they saw a diminishing return on them, and they realized that, you know, number one, these are not generating the revenue we thought, and number two, they had a problem with, again, the similar way that people were being ticketed, and they just didn't feel as though it was right. I think that it's wrong to simply say, hey, the data shows that they reduce accidents. I've seen some of the early data that TPD showed us. In some intersections, that was demonstrably true. And in other sections, it wasn't necessarily true. But what you don't know is how many accidents are caused by people hitting their brakes and getting rear-ended. You also don't know how many people are simply avoiding intersections, and we don't know what the traffic data, the crash data is at surrounding intersections, whether or not they've gone up as a result of people avoiding the red light intersections.
What did you think of the two renderings that were in the newspaper concerning the Ronstadt Center? I kind of liked the one that was the lower cost one myself, but of course it's individual taste.
I sat through the presentations. There was a three-hour public meeting down at the TCC sometime last week, and both groups made their presentation. I would say both groups have a strong local presence to them. Jim Campbell is on the Alexander team, and that's the team that you like, the rendering that you like. Mm-hmm. Ron Schwabe and Phil Swaim are on the other team, and they're both local contractors, architects. First of all, let me just say, right now the Ronstadt Transit Center is essentially a parking lot waiting to be developed. It will stay. It will maintain a transit function. That's by federal law. We have to do that. So no problem in terms of making sure that it's going to be a transit element, or maintain a transit element. We're not going to reduce its functionality. As far as the two proposals go, the one that you like, I kind of like too. But remember, these are conceptual designs. And there's still a lot of public process left to go. The problem I've got with the other one is that they didn't really identify their funding sources. I suspect it's a lot of public money that they're kind of hoping will come through, whether they're low-income tax credits or home funds or HUD dollars or wherever they're coming from. I think that we need to move in terms of developing the site, and the Alexander Campbell proposal. Identified private funding, which is what we're seeing all over downtown now. People are not relying on public dollars to develop a downtown core. We've seen it with Cadence. We've seen it with the new hotel, the AC Marriott that's going in. We've seen it with some of the smaller establishments too. So I think we're beyond the point where we can simply say, let's see what the public dollars will build, and turn the corner and say, what will the private sector take a risk on? 6 years ago, 7 years ago, the council and the then mayor were looking at a $200 million hotel that was all publicly funded and backstopped by the city's general fund. We're past that. And so short answer is I kind of prefer the Alexander Campbell proposal right now, too, for several reasons. Number one, we know how it's going to get funded. Number two, it includes transit, retail, and housing and some open space. But again, it's conceptual, so there's a lot of work to be done on the design.
We're going to be talking about animal welfare issues in our community. We've made tremendous progress in that regard, keeping more animals, finding more animals' homes. Have the city and county kind of worked out their differences over for Pima Animal Care Center, Steve Kasachek?
Well, we signed the extended IGA. I voted against it, and I'll tell you, not because I don't support PAC, Pima Animal Care, but because the terms of the IGA did not close the door on the county being able to come back to the city any time during the fiscal year and saying, oh, by the way, we just built another tent and you owe us another $238,000. That's what happened this time, and that was one of the problems I had. The other problem I had was that they included what are called administrative overhead charges in the new IGA. They didn't exist before, and they're a considerable amount of money. So I think there are problems with the IGA. As far as PAC itself is concerned, I'm glad that the voters approved the new building out there. We absolutely need it. I firmly support increasing our funding for the spay-neuter program, because ultimately that's going to be the answer for the community's overabundance of animals. I will say one thing, though. Right now, we have nonprofits and shelters, rescue shelters, that are going out to Pima Animal Care and doing mass adoptions of animals that PAC is getting ready to euthanize, and so they're taking them off Pima Animal Care's hands, bringing them back to health, if you and I did that on an individual basis, and we went out and took an animal, a dog or a cat, got it back healthy, and took it back to PAC would pay for the spay and neuter. If one of these nonprofits does it, say they go and take 20 dogs and cats out and get them back to health, PAC won't pay for the spay and neuter. Even though getting them to do that would cost the city money, I think it would be the right thing to do, and right now it's not happening.
Okay, can you take a quick question, Dan? Yeah. Actually, it's a very good question about one old hotel in downtown. Hey, Dan, go ahead with Steve Kasachek.
Yes, I've been concerned for quite a while about this downtown hotel that's closed up.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the city do anything about that? We could convert it into condominiums if the city took it over. And is he behind in his taxes?
Okay, I'm assuming you're talking about the Hotel Arizona.
Yeah, I think he's talking about that.
Bert Lopez is the owner. It is privately owned. I can only tell you what I'm told. I believe he's got a tax liability associated with it, which is making it difficult for him to move. But I will tell you this, that I've been in contact with him and with his attorney and his development team, and they are putting together a proposal to present to the city to do some interior renovations to that and bring it up to speed. I can't tell you, Dan, how many times I've said to them, bring us a proposal, let us look at it. We've got the AC Marriott going in. We've got Herbert. We've got several projects going on downtown that make this thing an excellent site to do tenant improvements to. The burden's on him to move it, though. And no, we're not going to go and condemn it and take it over because I don't want the city owning that thing.
Okay, so you're basically, though, telling them, come on, let's get with the program. Is that what you're telling them?
Other people are doing it. Other people are finding private sector lending institutions to come in and make loans on very considerable construction projects all over the community, including downtown. He can do it, too.
Okay, Steve Kasachek, thank you very much for spending a half an hour with us. Thank you, sir.
Sure, always enjoy it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Councilman. In number Ward 6, we're going to talk more about animal welfare issues with Barbara Brown. That's coming up. 790-2040 for your questions and comments on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, I've got 5 kids and 4 of them are daughters.
Daddy, Daddy, there's a spider in my room.
Oh boy, did I get smart. I took care of the spider, but the smartest thing I ever did was call 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more bugs in a Lehman household. They do a great job, they're economical and environmentally friendly.
We're 5-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garber on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday as we talk with Andrew Morrill. Mr. Morrill is head of the Arizona Education Association. Also, a newsmaker interview with Mike Hammond. Mike is the newest member of the State Transportation Board. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com, for our live streaming podcasts and show archive. Back to the Buckmaster Show. We push now toward 12:35. It's always a pleasure to welcome Barbara Brown. Barbara is Vice President of Program Services and Community Initiatives. Also, she's one of the big backers of Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare. The acronym there is PAW, or I guess you could say plural, PAWS. Barbara, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. You had a very successful time a couple of weeks ago up in where was the event?
Atlanta.
Atlanta, that's right. You said you were in Atlanta for a very important conference that is put on by a group called Best Friends.
Yes, it's such an honor to be invited to participate in this particular conference. It's their national conference, and I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Best Friends, but back in the early 80s, right? 17 million animals were killed in shelters every year. Can you even get your head around that number?
No.
And older, sick, and problem animals were the first to be euthanized. So these folks in the Phoenix area, see, we have a good Arizona connection, got together and said, we have to do something. So they set up a little shelter there and then realized the problem was so big they needed to do something different. So they searched around for property and ended up with probably the most beautiful spot on earth.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, which
is about Southern Utah.
Oh, Angel Canyon, just right outside of Kanab. Mm-hmm. And they acquired 3,700 acres. They lease another 17,000 acres from state and federal. And so they set up this amazing no-kill sanctuary for companion animals. So at any given time, they can have 1,700 to 2,000 animals there. Of course, they have dogs and cats, but they have birds and horses and pigs and bunnies, and they have a wildlife rehab program. So they were learning so many wonderful things that they started to share what they were doing with folks, and they did it in the traditional way with newsletters and that sort of thing. But in about 2000, they started this national conference. And I have been fortunate enough to go to three, one just as a participant, and actually I was working at Habitat at the time, but I have an interest in this. And then the last two, I actually was a speaker because of the fabulous work we are doing here in Tucson.
The connection now between Best Friends and Tucson is what?
Well, so we are so incredibly fortunate to have been given a large grant on, actually it was Pima Animal Care Center, to do a trap neuter return program for community cats. This is a very competitive process, and to have been selected was just amazing. Do you know that in the 05 zip code, there are about 50,000 feral cats?
You're kidding.
No. And so it's really a problem, and trapping and euthanizing is the old way of doing things. Mm-hmm. But by trapping, neutering, then returning them, what they've found is that if you kill them all, there's a hole. Mm-hmm. Animals will move in. Mm-hmm. If the population goes down slowly, then no new animals will move in, and pretty soon it's all gone. The problem is solved. So we were selected to do that. We have now, it's on the Best Friends payroll, we have a vet and two assistants who are located out at PAC. They are running this TNR Trap, Neuter, Return program, along with some volunteers. To date, they have been able to spay neuter 3,500 cats. Their goal is 5,000 a year for 3 years, so 15,000. And with the work that's been done in San Antonio and other communities, we know that just hitting that number will make a huge difference for us.
And again, the area of town where most of this is going on?
Well, they've targeted some zip codes, okay, which we did a survey to mm-hmm. see where most of the cats were coming from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 05 is definitely on the list.
You know, we talk about no kill. How do folks in the animal welfare community define no kill?
Well, no kill is when a community, you figure what is your geographic area. So Tucson Metro, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. If Tucson were to, with the animals that are in our care, that go into the shelter. Now, let me remind you, we've talked about this before, but, you know, it's 26,000 animals that go through PAC every year, and there's another 10,000 that go through the Humane Society. That's a lot of animals. So what defines no kill is the number of animals that get out, that get adopted. And so that magic number is 90%. Mm-hmm. If you can hit that number, then you're considered a no-kill community. Now, no-kill is kind of a interesting concept to use that terminology, because as we know, there may be an animal that goes into Pima Animal Care Center that the humane thing to do would be to euthanize that animal. It's been hit by a car,
right,
or has cancer, is being relinquished by the owner, and it's a very old animal and can't be rehabilitated. So there are some number of animals that are euthanized, but the goal is to get as many healthy animals, or, you know, maybe not so healthy. Someone will take mm-hmm. on an animal like I did that mm-hmm. had some physical challenges.
Mm-hmm. Adopted, special needs animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. adopted and into a home. So 90%. Now, I'm so pleased to say that the Humane Society, from the last figures that I saw, somewhere around 95-97%, which is really awesome.
Wow, wow.
And PAC has been working very hard on this. And the last 2 months, their live release rate was 89.9%.
Unbelievable.
And just a couple years ago, you know, that was 64%. Mm-hmm. So they have made huge strides in the last couple of years.
So no kill, conceptually, the term no kill is what you would strive for. But realistically, you're never going to have a completely no kill community.
Right.
Because
you can't. Because of other issues
that come up with the animals.
But every animal that can be saved, the goal is every animal that can be saved gets saved and finds a home. So that you want as many as possible. So, you know, the old days, Bill, the old days, mm-hmm. right? An animal would have a runny nose, mm-hmm. right? Kennel mm-hmm. cough or whatever,
yeah,
and would be euthanized for that. So now the whole thinking has changed dramatically. And so it's like, we can treat that. Let's treat it and get that animal adopted.
And are there other models that we've looked for, or are we pretty much a hybrid community in this regard?
Well, the no-kill movement mm-hmm. Has been around.
Yeah.
And we have a group that's called No Kill Pima County. Mm-hmm. And so they're working very hard with that. But when I was at the Best Friends Conference, mm-hmm. One of the things that they do promote is no-kill. Mm-hmm. And they had 9 different communities present on their what they're doing in the no-kill movement and the success that they've had. So there are models, depending on whether it's a publicly owned shelter, a private shelter, whether it's representing the whole state. No-kill Utah, for example, they've got an initiative to make the whole state no-kill.
Wow.
Los Angeles has gone no-kill, which is pretty awesome. If LA can do it, we can do this.
It was interesting. You were mentioning that one of the sessions at the Best Friends Conference was talking about the Michael Vick dogs. These were the dogs that were confiscated from the football player Michael Vick. What happened to those dogs?
Well, those dogs got to Best Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the very first time that a judge had listened to arguments to rehabilitate dogs rather than automatically euthanize them.
Hmm.
That was the protocol. Any dog that had been at a home where fighting was taking place was automatically euthanized. In this particular case, Best Friends went before the judge, said, please, if you would award the dogs to us, mm-hmm. we will do what's appropriate for them. And the judge took a chance and did. 22 of those animals got adopted out into loving homes, which is really awesome.
That is wonderful.
There are a couple that are still at the sanctuary mm-hmm. Because of behavior issues, but they will live out their lives and have the best life that they can.
When we continue with Barbara Brown, we'll talk about Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, which Barbara talked about at that national conference, something we can be very proud of here in Pima County. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, to the music of sailing. Whenever I hear that, I think about sailing over on maybe San Diego, the bay there, whatever. But I like that bump music. Christopher Cross. Some said he was kind of a one-hit wonder, but no, he was a very talented guy. And anyway, but today we're talking about animal welfare issues with Barbara Brown of the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Barbara, you were really the first chair, I believe, of the Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare, known as PAW. And one of your presentations back in Atlanta at the Best Friends Conference was to let the rest of the country know about what we're doing here in Pima County with PAW.
Well, what's so great is that Best Friends is very aware of what we're doing and invited us to come and present. So I shared the stage with Francis Batista, who is a founder of Best Friends and is in charge of the No-Kill Los Angeles program. Arlen Bradshaw, who is in charge of the No-Kill Utah program, and then what we're doing in Pima County. So it was really pretty great, and I got to brag about all of our great stuff. And so the really part of my program, you know, I framed it in terms of kind of leadership. That was the theme. And I really believe that here in Tucson or in Pima County, the reason it all came together, because people had been talking about doing something for animals for a long time, is that things converge with the right place, the time, and the people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think Tucson, as you and I think Tucson's mm-hmm. fantastic, but at a particular time, we had a growing number of rescue groups, Breed Specific and others. And at that moment, it was really demonstrating that people in Tucson really care about their animals with that growing number. The time, you know, we have the financial downturn, and so groups were really willing to collaborate and work with each other. And then what we needed was the key person to kind of make it all happen. And we were so fortunate that Jan Lesher came mm-hmm. To be deputy administrator with the county. She's a great animal lover, and Pima Animal Care Center is in her portfolio. So a couple of us went to talk to Jan, who in turn then thought this was a great idea to bring people together just to talk about the situation, brought in a meeting of her peers, because I think that if you start at the top, you're going to have a lot more success. Mm-hmm. So they really agreed that a live release rate of 64%, which was the 2012 stat for Pima Animal Care Center, was not acceptable. So we held a meeting in November 2012 where we had all the different players there. And from that, Pima Alliance for Animal Welfare was born. And I was elected chair in January. And we have monthly steering committees. And then every 6 months, we have meetings of anyone who wants to come from the community who is interested in animal welfare. But as a result of that, we chose, or the group, the membership, chose to focus on three different things. The trap, neuter, return. And I think that the fact that they were focusing on that made it so that we got this Best Friends grant. Human-animal bond, we have a working group that's working very hard on helping low-income seniors and homebound individuals keep their animals with them. What are strategies that we need to adopt? And then adoption, marketing adoption as the best option. And this group organized the very successful Adopt Love, Adopt Local mega adoption event that we held in April, where we had 2,500 people come through and we got 139 animals adopted that day.
That was a great,
right?
Very. That was the first of this
first,
of its kind, right?
The first, right. And so we're going to do it again, 4/16/16.
4/16/16.
I can remember
get
that.
Get that. So that'll be underway for next
mm-hmm.
year.
And so this group is really working on these initiatives. So it was wonderful to be part of that.
And again, that's going to be April 16th, 2016. The venue for that will be the same as last year?
Yeah, the Tucson Expo Center. But gosh, Bill, if people were interested in getting involved in PAW, mm-hmm. we are having our next biannual meeting on Friday, August 21st from 8 to noon at the Abrams Public Health Building. So if you're interested in these initiatives or just getting to know people in animal welfare or making some connections, we would love to have folks join us and see what's going on.
We must have more animal welfare groups per capita in this community than anywhere in the country.
We have a lot. but I think that the impetus for that actually, Bill, was because we have a Greyhound racing track. So we've got two groups that are really focused on taking care of those animals. Because we are the West and people have horses, donkeys, and that sort of thing, we've got those types of rescue groups. Mm-hmm. You know, we also have the biggest potbelly pig sanctuary in the country.
Where is that up at?
It's
Casa
in Marana.
Oh,
it's Marana. In Marana, Ironwood Pig Sanctuary. There's 600 pigs there.
Are you kidding me?
No, 600. I can't even imagine how Mary deals with it. But the challenges that PAC was having in terms of getting animals out, these groups kind of sprung up to provide that safety valve for these animals. And so I think that occurred, these groups came to be. And there are some that are breed specific. They go and they take all the boxers out because they know the breed very well. And then there are others who take just the small ones, and then others who take cats and that sort of thing. So I think we do have a lot. But boy, when we get that new building.
When is that happening?
Well, so I am so happy to say that they're really fast tracking this, which is great. So I saw Dr. Garcia last night, and he said that tentatively what they're looking at is actually having a groundbreaking ceremony in September.
Good.
And you know, this is important because really, you know, the way I look at it is this is kind of a life and death matter for some of these animals, and so we really need a much better facility, and especially as we do this new mindset and we're trying to take animals that work with animals that have behavior issues and get that kind of settled before they get adopted and to have a better medical center. I mean, this is just such perfect timing. It's all converging.
How about cats? Trying to get a cat adopted sometimes can be very challenging.
Yes, and in fact, statistics show that cats are euthanized at a lot higher rate than dogs. Mm-hmm. When I was at Best Friends, there was a woman, Shelley Thayer, who runs the Cat Depot, and she did the most amazing talk to me. I'm mostly a dog person, but I do love cats. I do have two cats along with my six dogs. But but she gave some really fabulous hints about how to get cats adopted. So for example, one of the things that they do, some of this is really tricky. So one of the things they do is as people are looking at the cats in cages, they might send someone deliberately to walk by and say, "Oh, you're looking at Chauncey. He's my favorite." And then keep walking. Right?
A shill.
And then they train all of their cats. Uh-huh. All of their cats. They do agility, walking on a leash. They train them to do high five, and they train them to jump in the laps of people, strangers.
Oh, my goodness.
So if I wanted to see little Chauncey, right, they might bring Chauncey out, or I go into a big room where cats are roaming. One will jump in the lap, and the person who's the staff member or the volunteer says, "Oh, Chauncey chose you." So all of these little things that make it so that people think, "Oh, I guess he did. Maybe Chauncey needs to go home with me." So at this annual meeting, one of the things I'm going to do is share all of this that I learned. And by participating, I get access to all of their PowerPoints and their handouts, which I can share with our local group. So not only was it an honor to present, but I also was there with everybody else in mind and had a chance to get all of these materials.
Well, I know when I adopted my princess, my Norwegian forest cat, the Buckmaster Show Cat, at the Pima Animal Care Center, holding princess made the deal.
Right. Oh, for sure. And one of the things.
And when she started purring.
I know.
And when I took her home, I said, "Your worst days are over.
Absolutely.
This is the best day of your life."
Absolutely. And Princess knows it.
This is the best day of the best part of your life.
Exactly.
That is still ahead.
Exactly.
So, but really, holding the cat is key. Where a dog, you know, I'm not so much a dog person. I love dogs. But with a dog, it's a different kind of
interaction. It's a different interaction. Yeah. And, you know, they've made some changes as best they can at PAC, where they actually have a little space that you can go into with the cat, and it's caged so the cat
little quiet space.
Right, a little quiet space. So you do get to have that time with the animal.
Okay, Barbara, we're going to wrap it up. The next biannual meeting of PAW is Friday the 21st, 8 a.m. to noon at the Abrams Public Health Building, 3950 South Country Club near Ajo and the Sports Complex. Everyone's invited?
That's right, they are. And if they would just RSVP to Kelly Huber at cfsaz.org or call her on the phone, 209-2858. We'd appreciate it because we want to make sure there's a muffin there for you.
There you go. Thank you very much, Barbara.
You're welcome.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you like pottery, this is it, the Big Clay Festival. People come from all over the country for this weekend in Silver City, and it's only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City to take part in the Clay Festival, all sorts of demonstrations in downtown historic Silver City. So if you're into pottery, this is a must visit over to Silver City. You can find out more by going to southwestnewmexico.org. It has the full listing of the things to do and great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5 here on KVOI. 3 hours of local talk. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8 in the morning, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone, 8 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ed Alexander from 12:04 to 1. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.